What a privilege it is to have the opportunity to speak for you guys today. When Pastor Ted had asked, he explained to me that you guys are going through a series on thankfulness and really focusing on the Psalms as you go through this, which I was pretty excited about because it gives me an opportunity really to talk a bit about a psalm that is very dear to me, one that I go back to a lot and has had a really big impact on my life going back a number of years. And so our focus today is going to be on Psalm 139. And as we focused on this idea of thankfulness, it's going to be broken down into three different parts as we look at key elements that go along with who David was, the message he's trying to share, in order to share his heart and to really connect with God in a very, very special way. So as we go through this, it might be a little different, but I'm going to take time where I'm going to input intentional pauses. This is going to give us time to reflect. Because as we take this time to give thanks, I think it's also important in any aspect of life to be really intentional with what we do, especially when it comes to prayer, our time of devotion, and our time with God. Because a lot of times it's so easy to get into a routine that we don't think so much about what we're doing. So when we sit down even to pray or do our devotionals, the goal is really, let's get through this. Let's go through the, whether it's a devotional book to use or a prayer list or anything like that. So we're going to spend some time looking today at the words of David, and knowing David for who he was and the stories that he has in his past, it's incredible to see a man of God like him go through a number of psalms and just pour his heart out. To share his struggles, to share his joys, to share his appreciation and disappointments. Because it is such a raw emotion that we see throughout the book of Psalms, not just with David, but with so many other authors. So as we take this time, I'm going to read through the entirety of verses 1 through 18 first. And then as we go through, I'm going to reread them, pausing and giving time just for us to reflect and offer thanks to God for what he does and his involvement in our lives. So if you want to read along with me, we are looking at Psalm 139, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18. So David, in his prayer time, writes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for David, for your servant, for a man after your own heart. Lord, as we take time to reflect on this psalm and just the heart that he shares and the passion that he has to be devoted to you, Lord, we just ask that we would be open to receive, to hear, and to apply everything that we see here in this passage. So, Father, we ask for your guidance. We ask that you help us focus during this time. And we ask that as we go through this, that we would come to a new appreciation and thankfulness for who you are and the role that you play in all of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we take some time to reflect here on this psalm, as I said, we're going to split it up into three different parts, because as I was taking time to prepare and study, we see three very intentional themes that run through these first sections. So it's pretty simple here, verses 1 through 6, we're going to focus on, then 7 through 12, and then 13 through 18. And a neat thing about Scripture, no matter where you're reading, is this idea that they have to really repeat things and kind of bookend their ideas so that we can get a good glimpse of what's going on here. So in Psalm 139, in those verses 1 through 18, we see that David begins with knowledge and ends with knowledge. Knowledge of man, knowledge of God, and just the relationship between them. And because of that, you know, that first section, 1 through 6, the focus on that is this idea of comprehensive knowledge. This is complete, this is all-encompassing, this is everything. The reality of God's relationship with us, what he knows about us, our past, our history, our future, our present, it's all-encompassing. And David, if you know a lot of his stories, David had a lot of joys, David had a lot of sorrow, David had a lot of battles and times of peace. So it was kind of up and down throughout his life. And there were times where he cried out to God, and there were so many times where he was in fear, and so many times where he knew God had him. And this idea of knowledge and how complete it is for God is really laid out there in verse 5 when he says, you know, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. So it's this image that God has really protected David from everything as a result of the knowledge that he has. At no point does it say that, you know, God, you kept all evil from me, because if you know the story of David and Saul, there was a lot of negative stuff going on there. Saul was constantly trying to kill David, and I don't know about you, but if that were my case, I'd be a little freaked out about it. But that's just kind of, that's the story that David had. So David really knew and appreciated this knowledge that God had about all the events that he would go through. And so when David says, you hem me in behind me before, and you place your hand upon me, it's as if there's this protective case with David to know that God had him. And it's that certainty, that encouragement, that guidance that David needed during those times of difficulty, to know that no matter what he was going through, God knew it. God was aware, and he protected David through that. So part of this process that we're going to go through today, I'm going to reread verses 1 through 6, and I want you to listen to the words of David and focus on a phrase, focus on a statement, or even just a single word, and then we'll give you time to just reflect and offer God thanks for the knowledge that he has about us. So just take some time, just listen to what's being said by David and really try to latch on to one thing. So David writes, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let's just sit with that for a moment. So David begins with knowledge. He starts with God's knowledge of him. He starts with God's knowledge of his future. And goes into saying, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's just, it really starts to build up this awe in who God is. And really helps to lay the picture to say, God is all powerful. God knows all things. And it brings this sense of peace to know that because he knows all things, he can guide us through all things. And it leads into our next point in verses 7 through 12, which is God's unrelenting presence. Now, David, in the midst of his story and in the midst of his struggles, was really able, probably more so than most people, to recognize the work of God when it was going on. And here he lays out this reality in saying, you know, no matter where I go, I can't get away from you. Now, for many, that's intimidating to think that, well, God's everywhere, so if I try to hide, he's still going to be there. But for David, I think it was a great source of comfort at times. There were probably times where he wished he could have hid, you know, where he wished he could have just gotten away from God. But he shares that, you know, if I make my head in, or my bed in the heavens, there you are. If I go to the depths, there you are. If I try to hide in the dark, well, there is no darkness to you. Darkness is light to you. And it's that idea that no matter what he's going through, nothing's hidden to God. It's tying in with that knowledge to know that God is everywhere. God is with us no matter what happens. And so there's a great sense of peace in that when we come to realize that, you know, because I know that God knows about me, knows my struggles, knows my difficulties, when I'm in those things, he's right there with me to guide me through it if I will give him that chance to do so. And unfortunately for many of us, we go through these phases in life where we think, no, God, I got this. I don't need your help. I can figure this out. And then, well, we fell flat on our faces and that's where we are. But it's beautiful in the understanding to know that even if that takes place, God's there. He's there to help us. He's there to guide us. And so once again, I want to take some time to read through this. But before I do that, though, I do want to make note of the right hand idea. And in the context of what they would have understood when David wrote this and others, the right hand was a symbol of power. And that's something really important to notice here, is that David acknowledged and represented the power of God, which continues to build this idea of awe. And this reality to say, you know, there's a power here that is much greater than my own. And David wasn't the only one who recognized this. You can look at like Isaiah's calling. Isaiah, in the throne room of God, acknowledges the power that is before him and says, ah, geez, I'm going to die. Type situation, and yet eventually he goes through with the calling. And this isn't the only example. You see stories time and time again with this idea of fear and this idea of awe to recognize God's power. And so that idea of the right hand being over David is that reality that it's power behind it, that it's going to hold him fast, it's going to keep him true if he chooses not to jump out of it. And so I'm going to read through this one more time. We're going to give you a moment. Once again, latch on to something that really is meaningful, a phrase that stands out. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So we have God's comprehensive knowledge. We have God's unrelenting presence. And then this last section, verses 13 through 18, we have God's precise craftsmanship. And in my own life, this is probably the part of Psalm 139 that truly brings comfort, that brings peace, that brings really a sense of intentionality when it comes to my walk with God. Being someone who struggled greatly with self-esteem and issues of just, you know, personal acceptance, it's in these words where David starts explaining the beauty of what God did and the intentionality behind it. And in that reality, it's to say that God didn't just throw together people haphazardly, but he was very precise and very intentional in the way he created David and in the way he created every single person sitting in this room and every person that we meet going out those doors. And sometimes it's easy to get so caught up in, you know, our issues and our past and our struggles that we forget that at the very core of who we are created in the very image of an eternal God. And we can take pride in that, and we can find beauty in that reality. And we don't want to go to the extreme of saying, well, because I'm made in the image of God, I'm better than everyone else. Nor do we want to go to the other extreme and say, well, I'm nothing. Because there is great beauty and precise craftsmanship. And David really hits on this as he talks about the intimacy with which God has created people in saying, even before I was unformed, you knew me. Even before I came into existence, you had a lot of things planned out. You knew what I was going to go through. You knew what kind of difficulties I was going to face. You knew my personality. You knew I was going to be either outgoing or not so outgoing. You knew that I was going to have great strengths and talents and weaknesses as well. And that was all very intentional, not in just the personal sense, but in the community sense. Because in each and every person here, we have strengths and weaknesses with which we can help others with their strengths and weaknesses. And so it's really this intricate plan, this really precise craftsmanship that he created us. And because he took the time to create us, it means he cares deeply about each and every one of us. We don't create something we don't care about. So it brings us to this point of appreciating and thanking God for that precision and for that reality to say that, you know, God has brought me into this world because he genuinely loves me. He genuinely created me this way. And there's a reason for it, if I'm willing to serve, if I'm willing to acknowledge who he is. So one more time, we're going to read through the verses here with David and take a moment to really reflect on this. So in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." So as I mentioned at the start, scripture writers like to start with an idea and end with an idea. And in Psalm 139, David contrasts really the knowledge of him and what he knows about God with God himself. And he closes this section out and says, you know, there are so many thoughts that you have that are just beyond me. But that's incredible. A lot of times we find intimidation or doubt or just darkness in thinking that, you know, there's a God that we can't have answers to everything for. But whether it's David or Job or others in Scripture, they look at this fact and they say, this is just incredible that there's a God out there that understands more about life, more about the world than I could ever imagine to understand. And for that reason, as we take this time, and I know that here in this country at this time of year, we really devote it to giving thanks. David sets an example here in this psalm to say, look at all of this that we can thank God for. I thank him that he has all this knowledge about me, has all this intimate understanding of who I am, and I can give thanks. I look at this unrelenting presence, the fact that no matter where I go, what I'm doing, what I've got myself caught up in, or what I'm celebrating, God's there. And he's not going to let me go. He's constantly going to be there whether I acknowledge him or not. And then this precise craftsmanship, to know that I am created the way that I am for a reason. And I can be thankful that God took great care in crafting me the way that I am. It gets challenging at times. We can't deny that reality. But when we take the time to put intentional focus on our devotional time and on our just our lives and say, you know, today is devoted to God, and I'm going to do that by being intentional in every single thing that I do, we're going to find we have a lot to thank God for. And we're getting ready to enter into a season where, you know, we should really be grateful because we're starting to enter into Advent, which is that celebration of the coming of a Savior, which is an exciting thing for us. So we have so much that we can thank God for. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We can go with confidence in knowing that we have so much to thank God for. No matter what your story is, no matter what you've been through, no matter what your life has looked like, we can know that there is a God that is there, that knows about us, that is constantly present, and is intentional with creating us to be the people he knows we can be. So it's a great season to give thanks. And it's a great opportunity for us to take the words of David and the words of God and share them with whoever we come in contact with. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you so much for who you are. We express our appreciation for your knowledge about us, about the world, about our strengths, our weaknesses. We thank you so much for you constantly being there, even though we may not always acknowledge that you are. And Father, we thank you for your intentional craftsmanship in our lives, with our personalities, our talents, our gifts. So Father, we just ask that as we depart here today and as we prepare for the upcoming Advent season, that we would be reminded constantly of what we take this time to celebrate, that we would constantly express our gratitude each day for the opportunity you've given us to be part of the greater story that you're telling. So Father, we praise you. We thank you for your Son. In your name. Amen.